title of our message today is The Living Water. John 4, beginning in verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself was not baptizing, but his disciples were, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar. And that was near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph, and Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, therefore, being weary from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. And there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, Give me a drink. And for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman therefore said to him, How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I am a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, Give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And she said to him, Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself, and his sons, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said to her, Everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be a well of water springing up to eternal life. Have you ever been thirsty and you couldn't drink enough to quench your thirst? I think we've all been there. There's all different types of things now that they sell to quench your thirst. There's 10 million different bottles of water, and they're all supposed to be the greatest thirst quenchers now. And so Jesus here basically is saying, the water that I give to you is living water, and when you partake of the living water, you will never thirst again. You'll never thirst again. And that living water that he gives, which will enable people to never thirst again, is eternal life. And so we are going to look at just a few things this morning. First of all, the woman came to the well to draw water. And so he initiated this conversation with her by asking her for a drink of water, which is interesting. Okay, so she was shocked. She was shocked because Jews didn't get along with the Samaritans. They had no dealings with them. And so she said, why would you ask? Why would you have any dealings with me? That's basically what she was saying. Why would you have any dealings? There was a bitter hatred between Jewish people, the Jews of that day, and Samaritans. And so there was a bitter hatred for two reasons. One of them, the Samaritans were half Jews. They were a mixed breed by birth, and they were considered Mongols. The second one is, they were also not only half breed by birth, considered Mongols, but they were also a mixed breed by religion. Heathen, and then with a mixture. And so the Jewish people hated the Samaritans. The city Sychar, history tells us very little about the city. We know a few things. We know in Genesis in chapter 3, verse 19, that Jacob bought a piece of land there. So we know that about the city from a biblical perspective. We know that Jacob, as he was dying, willed the land to Joseph in Genesis chapter 48, verse 22. So we have that other piece of information about the city. And we know that Joseph's bones were buried there in the book of Joshua. If you go to Joshua in chapter 24, verses 32. So Jesus here now is confronting, having a conversation, and we're going to see a few different things. First here is that the living water that Jesus speaks about is alive. It's a living water. Living means it's alive. and it springs forth a wellspring into people's lives that gives them eternal life. Ephesians says this in chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. And he that hath no money, come, and ye buy, and eat, and ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price. In Psalm 36 and verse 9, for with thee there is a fountain of life, in that light we shall see. How do you get living water? That's the question. How do we get living water? Well, what did the woman do? She asked for it. She asked for it. Understanding that, you know, Jesus has called himself the bread of life, the light of men, the living water, the door, the way. So that's all coming into, I guess, all coming into play when we think about the living water is more than just coming from a person that's just a religious figure. The living water that quenches people's thirst is really coming from God. That's where the living water comes from. So where did you get the living water? Well, she said, are you greater than Jacob? Well, Jacob was a man. Jacob was a man. Jacob could provide a well. Jacob could dig a well. And man-made well can produce water. But you'll drink that water and you'll be thirsty again. You won't be thirsty when you come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, because you'll be quenched. You'll have peace. You'll have hope. So throughout Scripture, Jesus made these claims. He claimed to be greater than the temple in Matthew in chapter 12, verse 6. He claimed in Matthew in chapter 12, verse 41, to be greater than Jonas. Greater than Solomon, he claimed to be. In Matthew 12, 42, but also in Luke, in verse 11, chapter 11, verse 31. Jesus always made claims to show that he was greater than man, that he was greater than man. Greater than Abraham, in John 8, 53. Greater than Abraham. Greater than Jacob, here, as we just read in John 4, verses 11 and 12. Greater than Jacob. Worthy of more glory than Moses, Jesus claimed in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 3. And so there's no denying that Jesus is providing something that no man can provide. No religion can provide it. No religion can provide peace and comfort the way a personal relationship with Jesus Christ can. Not joining a church doesn't provide it. Going to Bible study doesn't provide it. Those aren't bad things within themselves. Being a member of something doesn't provide it. Being a committed person to a man-made institution doesn't provide the quenching of thirst that a personal relationship with Christ does. It provides with legalism. It provides with traditionalists. It provides with many of what the Pharisees were in the midst of in their day. They were in the midst of all of that. It was really about making sure I do this and I don't do that. It was always about making sure we kept the law, making sure we kept the rituals and the traditions. And so we're going to drink X amount of water every day. We're going to do this every day. We're going to act like this every day. We're going to go to church every day. As long as I do that, I'm good. But eventually we're not good. We get thirsty again. And we can try all different things in our lives. You and I, men and women, mankind throughout the years have tried tons of things to quench our thirst. We've tried tons of things to have peace, to have happiness, to have joy, to find purpose, to find meaning, to find significance, to have some sense of importance, to have some sense of fulfillment and satisfaction. We've done things until we can't do them anymore to find all of those things. And in the midst of that, something for most people is still missing. There's still some void. They still don't quite feel peace. They still aren't sure. They're always questioning. They're always worrying. They're always in doubt. There's never comfort. There's never joy. And we continue on that little cycle until we breathe our last breath. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. Not only for people that we would consider ourselves Christians, those that have given their life to Christ, who consider themselves part of God's family. Well, if you've given your life to Christ and you consider yourself part of God's family, then you won't be seeking purpose and meaning and significance and importance and satisfaction and approval. You won't be seeking that. Do you know why? Because you already have that. You already have that. You have a purpose. You have meaning. You have significance. You have satisfaction. How is that I have those things when I don't feel that way? Well, then you have to understand what your relationship with Christ means and what it is. And Jesus is saying, if you drink of the water that I have, it's going to quench your thirst. It's going to take care of your significance. It's going to take care of your satisfaction. It's going to take care of your fulfillment. It's going to take care of your meaning in life, your purpose. You see things a different way. We're all in the dark until we're enlightened by the light. And what is the light? The light is the life that's in Christ that He gives to men. That's the light. That's the light. We're all in the darkness eventually until we come into the light, until we partake of the living bread, until we partake of the living water. Our problem is that we have a spiritual thirst as human beings that we don't recognize as a spiritual thirst, and we try to fulfill it. We try to fulfill it and quench it with stagnant water. You know, living water, when you think about what living water could possibly look like, it could look like a stream. Living water could look like a river. It could look like something that's moving. It's living. And you've seen those things. You could drive from town to town. You could see some areas where there's living water. And then you can see what stagnant water is. You seen what stagnant water is? It's like a puddle. It doesn't move. It's dead. It's not living. There's no flow. There's no life in it. And what we do at times is we recognize that we need something and we lack something, and we try to fill it with a stagnant type of water. When there's only one water that can give life, and that's a living water. It's a stream. Jeremiah says this in chapter 2 and verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out of cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So they've turned their back. What Jeremiah is saying is the people have turned their back on the fountain of living water, and now they're trying to have water out of these cisterns, out of these pots, which is stagnant water. And so the living water is alone. It just comes from Christ. This always seems narrow, but the truth of the matter is it is very narrow. There is only one way. There's only one way to have all of that, and that's through Christ. You know, when you go through, if you go through a turnstile, you know what a turnstile is? You know, you pay your ticket, and then it's very narrow. Sometimes you have to slide in. You can't carry a bunch of baggage through a turnstile, number one. Number two, you can't go in with five people at a time. So I can't go in with my wife and children. I have to go in alone. I have to go one at a time through the turnstile. It's a narrow little entrance, and that's what it's like. That's what it's like for an unbeliever. Someone who doesn't believe in Christ, someone who says there is no God, someone who's against God, someone who doesn't believe what the Bible says, but when they come to know, it's a narrow way. There's only one way. There's only one way, and that's through what the Bible says, and that's through Jesus Christ. And so when you partake of that, the living water, when you partake of that, that one way, it stops you and I, people, men, mankind, from ever being thirsty again. forever doubting again. Doesn't mean we're perfect, it just means we don't doubt. We know. We're not better. I'm not better. I was the worst of the worst. The same way Paul says he was the chief among sinners. I was the worst of the worst. I'm not better. I'm just forgiven. I'm saved. I know when I die where I'm going to be. Most people wonder, how can you be sure? Can you be sure? Who can be sure? How do you know for sure? How come you can say that? I can say that because that's what God's Word says. That's the only reason why I say that. I don't say it because someone convinced me of it. I don't say it because somebody talked me into it. I say it because God's Word says it. The Bible says it. There is only one way, and that's through Jesus. When you confess in your heart, and you believe that, and you acknowledge your sin, and that God loves you so much that He sent Christ to die for you, and you ask for forgiveness of your sin, and you turn from your sin, and you turn to God, that's called repentance. When you do that, you're a part of God's family. You're not perfect. You just, you know what you have? You have a fresh start. You have a fresh start. You become a new creature. That doesn't mean you're a perfect creature. That just means you have a new nature. The old nature, when you wanted to choke someone, is gone. Now you don't want to choke them anymore. That's a terrible old nature you have, isn't it? First response to anything, well, I'll just choke. That nature's gone. New nature. Doesn't mean perfect nature. New nature. New person. New thoughts. New way to live. New way to act. New way to respond. Not your way. You didn't get better. You got the love of God shed abroad in your hearts. You've got the living water that now gives you peace, that you have your significance. You have it now. You have it now. Bible says, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, in John chapter 7, verse 37. Anyone who's thirsty, anyone that's seeking all of those things, anyone who's not sure, who's looking for their significance, anyone. The living water is a water that's literally placed as a well. As a well in man. The well is not placed outside the man, nor anywhere outside the world. The well that springs up within man unto eternal life is placed within the man. Within the man. It's placed in him. John in chapter 7 and verse 38 says this, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake, he of the Spirit, which is that they believe on him should receive. So the living water, it springs up from within us. It comes from, it's placed in us. Just like the Bible tells us in Romans in chapter 5, how the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. It's placed in us. It doesn't come from the outside. There's nothing that can come from the outside that man can produce and can give the results that the Spirit of God gives to man. The living water springs up and results in what, does the Bible say? The living water, which is Jesus Christ, results in the greatest thing that we could ever have, which is everlasting life. That doesn't mean we're going to live till we're 800 years old. That just means we're going to have everlasting life. That just means when we breathe our last breath, whenever it is, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid when we get a bad diagnosis. We don't have to be afraid, you know, when someone gets diagnosed with some disease, the first thing people worry about is, oh, it's stage this or it's stage that, or am I going to die? We're all going to die. Everybody in this room is going to die at some point in time. Some shockers, surprises, others, who knows? But eventually we're all going to breathe our last breath. Some sooner than others. And the world today is infatuated with trying to extend. And there's nothing wrong with that. Eating right, exercising right, taking care of yourself, doing the right things. But at the end of the day, we're going to expire here. And then the issue becomes, where does my spirit and soul, where do they rest forever? Where do they rest forever? well, you know, I don't, and then here's what people will say. Well, you know, I don't think, I think God is a good God, and I know my God, and I believe that I've been a good person, and that I'm going to go to heaven. Because I haven't been a bad person. I try to do the right things. I'm not perfect. I do the best I can. And so I think God will understand that. And what we do with that is we make God out to be what we want him to be. What we're saying is I want God to understand the fact that I'm still going to believe what I want to believe, and I'm going to believe what I want to believe, and God understands that I believe what I want to believe, so it's okay for me to believe everything that I want to believe and still have the opportunity to be at peace and be with Jesus and be with God when he comes again. I can't tell you over the years how many funerals I've been involved with where people will say, well, we're going to see them again someday. Now, for a believer, if it's one believer speaking of another believer, then that would be a true statement. But if it's someone who doesn't believe with someone who doesn't believe, then that wouldn't match up with what God's Word says. It doesn't match up with what God's Word says. The same way I can't get my thirst quenched by drinking Gatorade in a spiritual sense the way that I can get my thirst quenched by partaking of the living water. It's a physical thirst quench versus a spiritual thirst quench. And the spiritual thirst is from the living water, from the living water that flows, that's alive, that's vibrant, which is Christ. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto the living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, in Revelation in chapter 7, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that thirsteth, and whoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Revelation 22, 17. Let him take the water of life freely. Jesus interpreted what he was saying in John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. And all those facts are fulfilled by the power of the Holy Spirit in someone's life. And so, when we come across the times in our life when we feel unimportant, or we feel insignificant, or when we feel like we've kind of lost our way, or when we feel like we're not sure what our purpose is, if you've had the living water, we will be redirected onto the understanding that our purpose as God's people is to bring glory to God. And the way we do that is by proclaiming the good news of the gospel. That's everyone's purpose. That's just not the preacher's purpose or the church leader's purpose. That's everyone who's ever called upon the name of Christ to be saved. The purpose is to do the same thing that's happened in your life because of what you heard from God's word into someone else's life. And so when we see that this woman said, you're not greater than our father Jacob in verse 12, are you? Who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle. You're not greater than him, are you? She wasn't sure. And then Jesus says, everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. He was speaking of the well of the water. Everyone who drinks of this water, that pool, that stagnant water that's just laying there, everyone who drinks of that will get thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well. A well springing up to eternal life. That's what it does. The living water springs up into eternal life. So when we do breathe our last breath, when we do breathe our last breath, our soul, it either resides in heaven, a spirit and soul in heaven, or totally eternally separated. Eternal life means that we reside with God, with Christ. And so that's our desire. Christ is the living water. Our desire is that everyone drinks of the living water. And we do that when we acknowledge Christ as our Lord and Savior. Let's pray.